Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Ethan Westerman. It's not Matt Jones and Bubba Carpenter, like we said yesterday. Bubba is on his way to Omaha, and his travel plans got altered a little bit. So you're stuck with me again. But don't fret. We'll still have Matt on the show today. He's going to call in from Omaha, and we're going to discuss the practices that have been happening ahead of the College World Series. We're going to be talking about Cam Kozel's return to his hometown and kind of the buzz surrounding that, and a lot more as we're one day away from Arkansas-LSU in a showdown at the College World Series. But first, a word from Kendall King.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Well, we're a little bit over a day away from Arkansas-LSU at the College World Series, joined by Matt Jones again from Omaha. Matt, hanging in there?
I'm tired, and I am sunburned, but it is a great time here in Omaha, Nebraska.
Sunburned in Omaha. Never heard of that happening in June.
It's as hot here, I think, as it has been in a long time. Maybe, I shouldn't say a long time, because it was hot here in 2022. Maybe the better way to put that is that it's usually not this hot here at this time of year. You know, I can remember times when I've come up here and you walk out of the hotel in the morning and you kind of feel like, man, am I going to a baseball game today or am I going to a Nebraska football game? And but we haven't had that kind of weather here. It's real warm, kind of humid, and so it's, and I think it's going to be that way for at least the first week of games here.
I have been to the College World Series one time before. I guess it was 2022. Was that the last time they went prior?
Yes. Yeah.
And I went for their opening game against Stanford, and it was so hot. I think I had a sunburn for like 2 weeks after that. That is my one experience there. But it was very, it's a different type of hot, too, I feel like. It was like so dry hot. Here in Arkansas, you get that like a I don't know. It's so muggy sometimes in the summer, even whenever it's hot. It was like a different type of heat there.
Yeah, and not a lot of shade in the ballpark either, at least not for those. Like when they played Stanford, that was in the middle of the day. Like the game this afternoon or the game, Saturday afternoon, those people are going to be walking out of there looking like lobsters.
Yeah. Well, you were over there for practices. Anything extra exciting happen, Adam?
No, I mean, so this morning at practice, they had their practice at Millard South High School, which is where Cam Kozel played high school baseball. And, I mean, it was a big-time homecoming. I've been up here for a lot of these, and I've seen him practice at a bunch of different high school stadiums and college stadiums. And, there's usually not a whole lot of people there. The word will get out, and, you'll have a fan, a handful of fans show up, and they'll watch. I have never seen anything like this morning. I mean, it looked like anybody who ever knew Cam Kozel came out to watch this practice. His old principal was there. His best friends from high school were there. His high school baseball coach, players from this year's Millard South baseball team. There was a travel team there. A lot of people wearing, Millard South clothing out there. And, you walk in and there's a big banner and it says Millard South welcomes the Omahawks. And it was really unique, real unique, and almost to the point that I don't know that they'll do that again going back over there. But it was a big morning for him being able to get to see a lot of people. I mean, he walked in and I don't know if they were it looked like they were family. A couple of young kids walked up to him and he picked them up and carried them into the ballpark. And I don't know that his dad saw a single bit of practice, because every time he would finish an interview with one person, somebody else would go grab him and they'd interview him. And those interviews, it felt like they were going on for 10, 15, 20 minutes apiece. I mean, you're talking to the SEC Network and talking to local TV people from Arkansas, talking to some local TV people from the Omaha area who were out there. And, I kind of felt bad for Cam's parents because they didn't get to maybe take in that experience, the way that they maybe wanted. but he was a story out there today. And, you know, it's like I said, I've come to a lot of these, and I've never seen anything like that. And it just kind of drove home how unique of a deal this is, that he's coming back to Omaha, that he's a prominent player on the team, and he's coming back with a team that I think people expect to do pretty well here. It's certainly a morning that I don't think anybody of us or any of us who were there are going to forget, just because of the uniqueness of it all.
You know, traveling for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, there was like, I just felt like every time that Arkansas walked in the building, because of John Calipari, to be completely honest, there was just like a different vibe, like in the arena. Like it just kind of changed because it was like, okay, here he is. This is like, I mean, it was must see TV with every time that he was coaching for Arkansas in the postseason. Do you get any sort of sense, you know, with Arkansas kind of being the favorite, well, by at least some, you know, sports books, the favorite right now, and I think a lot of Arkansas fans feel like they're the favorite too. Is there any sort of sense they're just kind of whenever the team walks into the building right now where it's kind of like, oh, here's Arkansas?
Yeah, there's some star appeal there. I mean, you know, you got Vahibo Loy, who a lot of people are gravitating toward. It's Arkansas and it's LSU. I mean, those are the two teams that a lot of people are here to see, whether it be you know, fans of those teams or just kind of, you know, casual fans who are here to see college baseball at large. They know the Arkansas brand and they know the LSU brand. And so I see that with both of those teams. And I saw that at the ballpark yesterday when they went through the practice sessions over at Charles Schwab Field. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is some truth to that. To your point about Arkansas being a favorite, actually, I got an interesting email this morning, and I've been emailing back and forth with a mathematician at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and he says that he's been doing this for over a decade. He runs 100,000 simulations of the College World Series based on data that he can pull from the regular season, and he's got Arkansas winning the College World Series 31% of the time. And the next closest is Coastal Carolina at about 18.5%. So he was right last year. He had Tennessee as the favorite to win last year. And he was right in 2019 when Vanderbilt won it. So I know it's kind of interesting. I'm in the midst of writing a note on that here this or today. And, you know, kind of looking at what the probabilities were for each team that's won the World Series.
You know exactly why I'm laughing about his top two teams.
It's because Jack Jones, my son, has been for 2 weeks. He has been telling anybody who will listen that it's going to be Arkansas and Coastal Carolina to play in the national championship. And it's kind of funny because he's here with me, and he's seven. And we were staying at a hotel the first night before we got into our long term stay, and it was the same hotel that like a Coastal Carolina alumni group was going to stay. And I had to kind of like, do not give them your national championship prediction, please. And he couldn't understand why not. But I think we all know why.
Yeah. Well, you wrote a story that's on our site right now, titles, "It Just Means More Games, Arkansas Baseball Still Facing SEC Foes." It's kind of weird, you know, in this NCAA tournament that is the path that Arkansas's had, considering how much the league struggled in regional and super regional to an extent. Just talk a little bit about that story you wrote and kind of the uniqueness of Arkansas's path.
It just seems like they're playing more SEC teams when they get in the postseason now. And a lot of that is because of the number of SEC teams. You know, the number of teams in general has grown in the last 12, 13 years from 12 to 16. And then the number of teams that have gotten into the tournament have grown. But, you know, you think back to 2018, they played a super regional against South Carolina. They played Florida in the World Series. 19, they played a super regional against Ole Miss. 22, they got here to the World Series, and they played Auburn and Ole Miss. And now, you know, they're going to play Tennessee and LSU in this postseason. So, you know, it's kind of like conference play never really ends. I'm a big believer that playing in the SEC, and I know people will say the SEC didn't have a good postseason. I think there's some truth to that. But, you know, a lot of conferences, it's been the case for them too. I mean, Big 12 got eight teams in the tournament. They got one team here in Omaha. The ACC got nine teams in the tournament. They got one team here in Omaha. And I don't think the Big 12 team or the ACC team, if you would ask anybody at the beginning of the postseason, you know, Louisville and Arizona would not have been the two teams that you picked to represent those two conferences. So it's you know, we've said this for a few weeks that we thought the postseason was probably going to be a little wacky because the regular season was, and I think it's turned out that way. And I think, you know, obviously the SEC, you know, they end up getting sniped, you know, at a regional or a super regional in Auburn's case, by some teams that most people thought would get here to this point. So I say all that to say the SEC is the only conference here with two teams. And I think playing in the SEC just prepares you for this time of year. I just don't think there's anything that you can see at this time of year that you didn't see playing a 30-game SEC schedule because the competition is so good. I mean, Arkansas played South Carolina, and they played Missouri this year, and neither of those teams are real good. You know, Missouri, obviously, historically, one of the worst teams that's ever been in SEC baseball. But you take those two series away, and it was eight other teams who were really good. And I even, you know, I include Texas A&M in that because they're a real talented team. So I think there's a lot of value in playing SEC teams and just continually being challenged because, you know, if you can beat Tennessee in the super regional, you know, why can't you beat the teams that you see here in Omaha?
Yeah. We've talked about this a little bit before. You're going to have to help me out with the exact number, but from the end of their SEC tournament, which was only one game stay, to their first game, they had a pretty lengthy break between, if you'll help me remember how many exact days it was. But do you feel like that, like, are we seeing right now what, like, maybe a little bit of time away from actually playing games can do for a team that's as talented as Arkansas? Do you think that there's any sort of, I guess, truth there to that break truly helping toward this run?
I think there could be. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, they just haven't really been challenged in the regional or the super regional. And challenge probably isn't the right word. It's just they haven't been stressed in the regional or the super regional. You think about the regional, they got behind North Dakota State in the first inning, and they didn't trail anywhere or any other time during that regional. They beat Creighton 12-1 in game two, and they beat Creighton 8-3. In game three of that series. And then you go to the super regional, and it was a little bit of a tight game with Tennessee there that first day, but Arkansas got up in the fifth, and then they never trailed again in the super regional. And, you know, I think that there's the potential to have a lot of stress at this time of the year. And I'm not talking about just when you're at the World Series, but I'm talking about the regional and the super regional too. And I think that stress can kind of compound and affect a team, you know, and kind of wear them down a little bit. And so I think that, yes, they had a long time, you know, between games for the most part. They played Ole Miss, but otherwise they didn't play a game for like 12 days. And then, you know, they've been able to get through the first two weekends of this stress-free. And I think that certainly can affect how a ball team is playing this time of year. I just think that if you're, you know, like in LSU's case, against West Virginia last week, they won comfortably, but that didn't look like the way LSU's been playing all year. Games like, you know, 16-9 and whatever the score was in the second game. And, you know, I think that the stress of the Little Rock games in the regional maybe played a little bit of a factor in the super regional. Now, they've had some time, you know, between West Virginia and when they get here, and it might not affect them at all, but it might. I think that there's a real accumulating effect there.
Yeah, there's obviously no metric that can actually, you know, measure this value. But I will say, like, from Arkansas's postseason run, I feel like the only nervous energy that was ever at BOM was for like a half inning after Tennessee took a lead. And I would like to know how much nervous energy each team at this point has experienced, because LSU's has got to be way higher than Arkansas. Because that Little Rock series, like the final game, I watched most of it, and it was way tighter than, I think, the final score. They maybe won by like 3 or 4, but like that, they've been nervous for a lot of the postseason. And Arkansas, yeah, it's just, that's what I've sensed, is that it's just like not ever really any legitimate nervousness, which part of me is like, that's great. And then the other part of me, I get to guess play devil's advocate, is like, what happens if they get in a really stressful situation? And this other team's been through that a lot.
I think if they do that, then they just draw back on the experiences they had during the season when, you know, they were playing a ton of tight games and, you know, game. I mean, think about the number of game threes they had this year that just came right down to the wire, whether it be Ole Miss and Charles Davalon getting a 2-out hit in the ninth to tie it, and Bahiva hitting a 3-run home run to win it, Georgia, you know, Vahiva hit a two-run home run to tie that game in the ninth. You know, Florida, you know, that was a fairly tight game going into the, you know, at the end. And so they've been in a lot of stressful situations in game threes this year that I think they'll be able to draw on those experiences, even if it hasn't happened in the last couple of weeks.
We'll stick around here after a break. We're going to talk a little bit more ahead of Arkansas-LSU.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back in. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. Also want to tell you, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. For the most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, our award-winning team of reporters and photographers bring subscribers the most trusted Razorback news. We have analysis, the latest in recruiting, and unique stories of all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. Matt, you wrote a lot yesterday in a notebook on wholehogsports.com right now. Hit a lot of different topics, but first I want to talk about Brent Iredale. You wrote that he is... This isn't his first World Series, albeit the other one, you know, he was a little bit younger.
Yeah, he went to Williamsport with Team Australia in 2016. This is a story I've been wanting to do for a few years. You know, this is the third straight year that Arkansas has had a player who played at the Little League World Series. Jared Wagner did, played for the Razorbacks in 2023, and then Jared Sprague-Lott, who played for Arkansas last year, he played for Team Pennsylvania, I believe it was, in the Little League World Series. And so now you got Iredale here. And, yeah, that was something I'd been wanting to write, you know, just kind of the – because there are not a lot of players, I think, who have an opportunity to play in Williamsport and play in Omaha. And I would actually say it's probably harder when you think about the international aspect to getting to Williamsport and just the number of players – at the Little League level, it's probably less likely that you can get to Williamsport than you can get to Omaha. And so, you know, you start thinking about probabilities and things like that, and, you know, the probability of a player getting to both Williamsport and Omaha with the team, I just can't imagine that there's a whole lot of players who have done that. I know there have been players before because I've seen some features, you know, during the College World Series, players who have done that, but you know, to my knowledge, Brent Iredale would be the first one who's done that wearing a Razorback uniform.
You know, I found it interesting also in your story, you said that his family is going to be in Omaha, which not as easy of a trip, you know, for driving. How many hours north is it from here? Like 8?
Yeah, well, I mean, and they're coming from Australia too. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm about to say it's a little bit more like difficult travel for them than here. But I'm sure this is something that they probably, you know, had on their calendar well in advance to make.
Yeah,
it happen.
I think their plan was to try to bookend the season, you know, with a trip to the World Series, and they were here. I believe they might have come in for the first week of the season when Arkansas played Washington State, and then, you know, they stayed for a little bit of an extended amount of time and went down to Arlington to watch Arkansas play in the games at Globe Life Field. But this will be the first time that they've seen Iredale play in person since those games in Arlington 4 months ago. And it's kind of, now that I just said that, it's kind of hard to believe that that's already been 4 months have passed. But baseball season, it has a tendency to fly by.
Yeah, you also wrote that Nolan Souza is out of his sling.
Yep, he's out of his sling. Shoulder's feeling fine. He gets to start lifting weights in about a week or two. So he's excited about that. You know, I think anybody who's ever broken their arm during the summertime and worn a cast or even a sling, you know, they can relate to just how uncomfortable that is in the heat. And, you know, he said that was one of the things that was most satisfying to him, was that he got to get out of that sling and, you know, just his arm's a lot cooler now than it has been the last several weeks. But yeah, he's doing okay in his recovery from the shoulder surgery. He tore his labrum, and he confirmed that yesterday. We just knew that he had had a shoulder surgery. We didn't know for sure, you know, what the specific injury was. And so he had a labrum tear. He got that fixed. He's going to be cleared to return to practice, play, whatever you want to call it, around the time that fall ball ends in October. And he should be able to go when the season begins next February. A lot of these guys who have had labrum tears at Arkansas in the past, like Kendall Diggs last year or Peyton Stovall the year before that, they waited until like June or July to get the labrum fixed. And so the fact that Nolan was able to do that in May, I think, was a big deal, because it's going to accelerate the it doesn't accelerate the recovery from it, but what it does is it gives him more time to be fully recovered from it before the season begins. And you know, I think with Stovall and with Diggs, there was maybe a little bit of at the beginning of the season where they were still trying to find their footing after being cleared from that surgery.
And I take it he traveled with the team to Omaha?
Yeah, he's here. Carson Wiggins is here too. You know, of course, Carson Wiggins had some sort of elbow surgery done. We don't know exactly if it was, we don't know if it was Tommy John. We don't know if it was a brace. We don't know if it was, you know, what they kind of call the hybrid elbow surgery. But he's here too. So you can travel more players than you can put on the roster mm-hmm. for the games. When the World Series begins, you have to submit a 27-man roster. And it's the same way with the regional, same way with the super regional, but you can have more players than that in your dugout. So, I suspect there will be about, a handful of players who are going to be in the dugout this week who aren't going to be able to play in the game, but they do get to have that experience and come to the World Series.
Yeah, because isn't there kind of a dilemma every year with this, as far as like players that are outside of that 27, if they decide to whether to go do the Omaha experience, even though they're not on the official roster, or a lot of them go and start playing in their summer league, right?
Yeah, some of them do. I think it's a little bit different now than it used to be in terms of who you can bring. And I think they've maybe loosened those rules a little bit. I think you can have more people in the dugout now than you used to be able to have. But yeah, like Tyler Spoon, I remember talking to him in 2012, Arkansas played at the World Series, and he was playing summer ball in Alaska. And he told me that he was going, in between innings whenever he didn't have to bat. And he was watching Arkansas's games. He was either watching the games on his phone, or he was checking the score on his phone or something like that. So yeah, that's a battle that some players have had in the past.
Yeah. I know that we talked about it a little bit earlier this week, the whole do you reseed discussion. It seems like that's been brought up more in Omaha, since we last talked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jay Antiguis, who's the athletic director at Southeastern Louisiana, and he's the chairman of the Division I Baseball Selection Committee. He was asked about that yesterday, and he said that he thinks that's a conversation that the committee might have in the future. Now, after he said that, Anthony Holman, who's the NCAA's VP for championships, he piped in and said, more or less that, he doesn't think that that's going to happen. He thinks that's a very hard thing to do. And I was talking to somebody else from the NCAA yesterday who made some valid points, because we were talking about reseeding. He said, what happens if you reseed when you get to Omaha and maybe you have to match up a team that played a home super regional that finished on Saturday, and they get pitted against a team that won an away super regional on Monday. Now you've got your pitching all out of whack. You've got, travel, and it's not as fair of a first round matchup. And I think those are, those are valid points. But I also think that, it works in other sports where, a team might have to play a team that's coming off a bye, or playing a team that, had a day or two less rest. I mean, the NFL playoffs, what do they go for three days now on opening weekend, and they reseed the teams before the next week. So, I think there's valid arguments both ways for that. I've said this a couple of three times on our podcast in the last couple of weeks. I think the easiest way to fix this is to seed teams better at the beginning of the postseason, because I just don't know how you put Vanderbilt as the number one overall seed this year. The more I've thought about it, I mean, that's a team that wasn't even number one in a poll, and there's like, 25 baseball polls, it feels like, and they weren't number one in any of them at any point during the season, and now all of a sudden they're the number one team. That, that's LSU is the number six team. That, those kinds of things don't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's something that's going to keep getting brought up the more that we see these top seeds fall in regionals like that, and it really does, I feel like, just expose kind of maybe who was built for more postseason than others. Because all along, I mean, you've been saying this for weeks that you thought Arkansas and LSU were built for kind of Omaha to make it to Omaha. And now I guess, we're seeing that right off the bat.
Yeah, I just think they're the two most complete teams in the country. I think Arkansas's got a better lineup. I think Arkansas's got more depth in the bullpen. But I don't know how much the bullpen depth matters in game one when you've got, a good starter and, if you're LSU where your first three or four guys out of the bullpen are really elite arms who would be top arms in any bullpen in the country.
I asked you yesterday, update, have you seen more Arkansas fans rolling in there?
Well, I saw a bunch at Millard South High School this morning. Yeah. and not all of them were wearing Razorback clothes, if you know what I mean. I think, and I've said this in Omaha, sometimes the underdog is the favorite team here. I was here in 2012 when Stony Brook was here, and that was the team that everybody went in and they were rooting for, unless, you were for your specific team here. And I think that Murray State is going to get that a little bit. They're going to be the team. I suspect a lot of these people that are driving up the ticket prices for Arkansas LSU tomorrow night, they might find their way into the first game of the World Series tomorrow, and they'll be cheering for Murray State to beat UCLA. That's just how it works. It's not just baseball. I remember in 2008, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina for the NCAA basketball tournament, and Davidson had this guy named Steph Curry, and, they were the team that everybody in the arena was rooting for, and they had two really cool games that weekend. They beat Gonzaga in the first round, and they beat Georgetown in the second. It was like a home arena for them both times, and so I think that Murray State's going to they're going to enjoy that type of home field advantage, at least for the first game, until they have to play one of those one of those fan bases teams on Monday. But going back to what you were talking about, Arkansas and LSU, they look like the two most complete teams here, and their fan bases are going to make these home field advantages for them.
Yeah, you sent that screenshot of, I guess this is probably like a secondary ticket site, or maybe it is the NCAA's. Whatever you sent, those prices were crazy.
Yeah, it's Ticketmaster, which is the official site for the NCAA. I sound like I just did a commercial for them there. I didn't mean to. But, right now, I've been looking at the ticket prices today. Just to give you an idea of what's going on, Arkansas and LSU, the cheapest ticket that you can get as of today into this game is $206, okay? If you wanted to go to the Oregon State-Louisville game tonight, so a Friday night game, $59 you can get into the ballpark. If you wanted to go to the Murray State-UCLA game tomorrow afternoon, $33. So $33, $59, and $206. Those are the starting ticket prices to get into these games. The Arkansas and LSU fans, they come here, and they both expect to take over this town, and the number of people who are going to be coming up for this, coupled with the number of people who just want to get tickets to that first weekend's game, it is creating a ticket demand here like I have never seen for opening weekend.
Hey, it's always good whenever a matchup is hyped up and it gets closer, and you can see the hype was very much real because those prices, I mean, some of these are like – people are paying more for a seat behind home plate, like on the upper level, than I am for rent in a month, which is crazy to me.
And then I say it's starts at $206 to get in. You want to sit behind home plate for this game tomorrow, you're going to be paying in probably the $500, $600, $700, $800 range. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is crazy. We'll end on this though. Arkansas, LSU tomorrow. Of course, like the headlining opening game of the World Series. Honestly, going to be the head. If they, anytime they play in this World Series, I think it's going to be the game of the day whenever it's happening. Arkansas beats LSU tomorrow if, I guess, fill in the blank.
I think they beat LSU if they get a strong outing from Zach Root. I think if, you know, they seem like they feed off of the energy that he brings on the mound. And I think if they can get a strong outing from him, you know, like 6-7 innings, and I know that's a lot, but, you know, if he can pitch them into the sixth, maybe into the seventh, I think they've got a really good chance at winning this game. I think Arkansas does a good job, and we still don't know, as of right now, who LSU is going to start. We think it's going to be Cade Anderson, but, you know, it could be Anthony Ianson too. And Ianson really carved Arkansas up in that first time that they played down in Baton Rouge. But if it's Cade Anderson, and that's who I tend to think that LSU will go with, just because he's been LSU's number one starter all year. He's that high-velocity left-hander that Arkansas has had some success against this year. When they played them down in Baton Rouge, you know, they were able to get his pitch count up a little bit. Now, they weren't able to, you know, to cash it in a whole lot and score a lot of runs. But, you know, I think that, you know, seeing him after seeing Liam Doyle, I think that those are kind of similar pitchers. Anderson doesn't rely on his fastball quite as much as Doyle did. But I think there's some similarities there, and I think that might be able to help Arkansas. They seem like they hit left-handers this year as well as any Arkansas lineup that we've seen in quite some time. So that's a long-winded way to say that I think if they can get Zach Root to give them another solid outing, and that's been an issue, getting three straight in a row or three in a row from him, if they can get that, I like their chances to, you know, to have a chance to win at the end.
Well, Matt, make sure you got the sunscreen and I guess the aloe vera if you're late on the sunscreen
and the Tylenol. The sun seems to give you a headache pretty easily, so that's I'm gonna lean on that a little bit too.
Well, want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening today. We'll have baseball coverage on wholehogsports.com over the weekend. Matt will be up there as long as the team is there. He might not see his bed for a while, but his bed in Fayetteville, I should say. But until next time, if you're going up to Omaha, drive safe. Be safe and hope everybody has a great weekend.